all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful book you've given us. Everything that this church has stood for over these more than 100 years has been built upon this book. Help us tonight to know that our strength, our help, our very future depends upon this wonderful, wonderful book. Bless tonight its preaching and its hearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without returning to it, I'd like to read for you one passage of Scripture we read a while ago. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Let me remind you that the Jews had gone from the land of Egypt to the door of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. They had sent out the 12 spies to search the land, and they came back with glowing reports, the land that flows with milk and honey. But they said, we're like grasshoppers, and they're like giants compared to us. They're giants that dwell in the land. There's no way that we can go in and conquer it. And the 12 spies voted 12-2, Caleb and Joshua being the only dissenters, that they not go into the promised land. For 40 years, God let the people wander in the wilderness 40 long years, and I read, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. I want to talk tonight on the subject, the first step to success. I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. I could not quite understand 1,000 plus sermons ago. I soon in early 2000, when the time will say that, I soon will preach my 67,000th sermon as a Baptist preacher. I did not understand why the first time I preached, I stumbled and fumbled for words and could not think of things to say. After 3 minutes, sat down in failure, and service was ended without me being able to preach a sermon. I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand why the first year of my ministry I did not have one single person walk the aisle for salvation. Can you imagine that? One entire year, and nobody walked the aisle for salvation. I could not understand why 11 years ago, suddenly while I was preaching at a National Sword of the Lord convention for Dr. Curtis Hudson, I couldn't understand why all of a sudden I lost my memory. When I came back to my memory, I didn't know what had happened, and I was told that I had, right in the middle of the sermon, I had lost my memory and began to repeat myself. And I couldn't understand why that happened. That's been now almost 11 years ago. I want to talk to you tonight about why. Our Heavenly Father, help me tonight to be to our people an enrichment, an encouragement, and a strength, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a tad more volume, please, fellas. Note the statement. The Lord thy God led thee in the wilderness these 40 years to humble thee. Pride is the most ghastly of all human failures. Let me say it again. Pride is the most ghastly of all human failures. Pride foreshadows ruin. The wise man said that pride goeth before destruction. It was said of King Saul, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, wast not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel? But when pride came into the life of King Saul, he lost his power and later lost his throne. God, hear me carefully, God must produce in us the character that is opposite to pride before we can enjoy spiritual success. All of God's methods lead to humbling us before God and fighting pride in our lives. God cannot use me until I can say I can do nothing of myself. Let me say it again. God cannot use me until I say I can do nothing of myself. Is it not true in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when it talks about the saving of a nation? It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's the first step. Then it says, pray. Then it says, seek my face. Then it says, turn from my wicked ways. But ladies and gentlemen, nothing can be done for God as long as pride is a stumbling block in the way. So God says to Israel here, I want to use you. I want to use you. So I put you in the wilderness for 40 years to make you humble, to free you from pride, so I can use you. God was saying, I must bring you to the end of yourself, so you will depend on me. So I will allow, get this now, I will allow you to fail so that we can succeed. God says, I will allow you to fail so we can succeed. You see, the honest simple truth is, the first step in spiritual success is failure. I say it again. The first step in spiritual success is failure. I've often said the formula for success is failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, equals success. The formula for failure is failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing, equals failure. So then, failing, plus failing, plus failing, plus failing equals, you fill in the blank. For you may use your failure to launch you to success, or you may use your failure to cause you to become a total failure in absence of success. Let me say what I mean. We all have evil in us and that we do not know about. So God must show it to us by failure so we will depend upon Him. Now follow me carefully. There is rebellion in my loyalty. Human loyalty also has rebellion in it. Since there is rebellion in my loyalty, God must show it to me before I accept His loyalty, and God must cause me to fail in my own loyalty because there is in my own loyalty rebellion. Illustration. There is blasphemy in my praise. Inside my praise and worship of God, there is also blasphemy. So God allows me to fail so I can see blasphemy in my praise and depends upon Him. Let me illustrate. There is cowardice in my courage. So I must go to the wilderness so I can see that cowardice in my courage, and then I depend upon Him. What God is saying is, you're not going to do anything till you fall on your face by yourself. And once you fall on your face by yourself, then you throw yourself in the mercy of God and say to your God, I can't do it, but we can.
I can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things, but I can do all things through Christ. I promise you, every great man, every great Christian who's ever been used of God started off with some failure, but they realize, I cannot do it, but I plus God can do it, and God lets you fail so we can get the job done together. Illustration. Hatred is present while I love. See, no attribute that I have is pure. My loyalty is not pure. My courage is not pure. And my love is not pure. So hatred is present while I love. I must see it. So God allows me to go to the wilderness to show me that my love is impure so His love can flow through me. Illustration. My righteousness is tainted with filthy rags. The goodness I do has within it badness. And the righteousness that I do has within it unrighteousness. So God allows me to stumble and fall, so I will depend upon Him for my righteousness. Listen, the great need of independent Baptists is for a bunch of cocky preachers to get back on our faces and say, we can't do it, but we can do it through Him. It's His work. It's not our work. It's His power. It's not our power. It's His success. It's not our success. And I say it again, nobody has ever really succeeded for God until first he failed. There is dishonesty in my honesty. There is selfishness in my unselfishness. There is greed in my generosity. There is covetousness in my contentment. And all of these things are hidden beneath the surface. God must raise these things up so I can see them, so I can find out I cannot do it by myself. Ladies and gentlemen, you preacher boys, let me give you, serve notice to you, this work wasn't built here because a preacher has a few funny stories. This work wasn't built here because a preacher can kick over a microphone every once in a while. This work wasn't built here because a preacher can scream and holler. And this work wasn't built here because of somebody's talent or charisma. This work was built because a young preacher back under years ago fell on his face and stumbled and did not succeed. And God said, now, do you see who can do who does it? Yes, I see who does it. You got to help me. And that's what's caused this work. This is God's work, not mine. Once we see these things and totally depend upon Him, victory will come, and we will thank Him every day that He brought us to the end of self and to dependence on Him, and then we will thank God for the wilderness. When the Jews marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times, and 7 times on the 7th day, and the walls of Jericho crumbled, That was the foundation that was laid when they failed 40 years ago. When the Jews conquered the promised land and had victory after victory, that was because they had failed back yonder, and every single child of God needs to come to the place where he fails by himself so God can pick him up and say, now we're a team, I can do it through you, but you cannot do it by yourself. Moses must fail and spend 40 years in the wilderness in order to see his weaknesses before God so God can use him. There would have been no Moses leading Israelites out of Egypt. There would have been no Moses going to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. There would have been no crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground, no manna from heaven every morning like the hoary frost of the dawn. There had been no water from the rock in Horeb. There had been no pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, unless first Moses had failed, and Moses looked up and God said, Moses said, I can't do it, but you can do it through me. Let me tell you, young preacher friend, you hear me carefully, you'll fall on your face and stumble if you think you can do it by yourself, but there's a God in heaven who said all power is given me in heaven and earth, and that God can use you, but you've got to first find out the work is his. John Mark must fail on his first missionary journey. Why? I don't know. Homesickness? Fear? I don't know. But John Mark must fail on his first missionary journey. So all of a sudden he can realize it's of God and not of me. That means he can someday write the second book of the New Testament. That means that someday he can be a great Christian and encouragement to the Apostle Paul. But the first thing he's going to have to do is realize he cannot do it by himself. Let me say it again. The first step to spiritual success is failure. So if you have failed, bless God, you get back up and say, I've stumbled, I've fallen, but there's a God in heaven who's omnipotent, and God can use me if I yield myself to him and depend upon his power. David must be overlooked by his father to impart humility. David must stumble so David can learn to write the 51st Psalm. David must fail before he succeeds. David must in his own energy and own strength stumble and fall. But once he's stumbled and fallen, he looks up to God and writes that amazing 51st Psalm, and then David can do something for God. Paul must spend 3 years in the Arabian desert in failure before he can become the great missionary of the book of Acts. Peter must stumble and say, I'm not with them. I'm not one of his. What are you talking about? He denied the church. He denied the Savior. He denied the faith. But you see him 50 days later, standing in the back end of a pickup truck in Jerusalem, preaching the old-time gospel, and 3,000 folks walk down the aisle and get saved. You listen. Peter's stumbling was as much a part of his success as his preaching all the day of Pentecost. For Peter learned that he could not do it, but God could do it, just like David learned that he could not do it, but God could do it, just like Moses learned he could not do it, but God could do it, just like Jack Hiles learned he cannot do it, but God can do it, and just like you'll have to learn, if God ever uses you, he'll have to cause you to lie on your face in failure someday, so you can get up and say, I can't do it, but we can do it. Jacob must spend 20 long years in Haran before qualifying to be a prince of God. James and John must see their selfishness before being mightily used of God. Before John can write the great revelation for us, before John can pastor that great church in Ephesus, before James can be a great pastor, before John can ever do the great work that God called him to do, when God showed him all the future, he showed him the resurrection of the saints, the rapture of the saints of God, he showed him the marriage of the Lamb, the judgment seat, he showed him the second coming of Christ to the earth, he showed him the great kingdom age, but John cannot receive that. So first, James and John fail. Aaron Judson must spend 7 years without a convert in order to become the great missionary to Burma that he was. This church tonight, this great First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, you know where the first step of its building was? That night, in a little church in Dallas, Texas, on a Wednesday night, Pastor Dan Davis was on vacation. I was the pitcher on our team, and Dan Davis was the third baseman. He had a church out in the South Oak Cliff section of Dallas. He asked me if I'd preach for him. And that night I sat in the chair as the deacon chairman introduced me. He said, our pastor's not here tonight. He's on vacation. We have a young man named Jack Hiles here to preach for us. As I said a while ago, I stood that night without a sermon, without a text, without a scripture, without an illustration, without an outline, thinking that God would give me words to say. A little bit cocky, I think, because I was preaching my first sermon. I stuttered. I stammered. I failed. I sat down and cried as the people came by and tried to encourage me. And the head deacon came by and shook my hand and said, young man, let me give you the best advice you ever had. And I said, what is it? He said, you'll never make a preacher. You never will.
saw him 7 years ago. He told me the same thing again, by the way, after 50 years. But they said, you'll never make a preacher. I went home that night and cried myself to sleep. And I said, oh, my God, I can't do it. Oh, but let me tell you something. He can do it. I said, he can do it. And now 60, almost 67,000 servants later, and 1 million souls have come to Christ, and 250,000 folks are more baptized. Blessed be God. He can. I can't. He can. I can't. He can.
And the first step to my success in this church was that night. Where did this church all start? Little East Texas Church. 19 members. Red River County, Northeast Texas. Preached my first Sunday. Nobody walked the aisle. I preached my second Sunday. Nobody walked the aisle. I preached my third Sunday. Nobody walked the aisle. I pastored there almost about a year. Not one single, I won folks in the homes. Not one single person walked the aisle. I was called to another church. For the first few weeks, nobody walked the aisle. I went out in the woods, and I begged God to help me. I thought I was going to die. I prayed all night long and begged God to help me. Oh, God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. I can't do it by myself. For one long year, not a single convert. What was God trying to tell me? God was trying to tell me I wasn't a hot shot I thought I was. God was trying to tell me I can't do it, but He and I can do it together. And this great church tonight was built in that little East Texas country church where God put a young preacher on his face and on his back and said, you're not what you think you are, and you can't do it. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And it is not yours, but ours in the work of God. I was done. I was beaten. I was defeated. My deacons came to me and said, preacher, you got to take care of yourself. You're going to die. I'd go out on Sunday morning after church and throw up in a little creek beside behind the church. I went down from 141 pounds to almost 100 pounds. I couldn't eat. I couldn't keep anything on my stomach. See, God's looking for some people that can't do it by themselves. And I'd beg, oh, God, you've got to help me. Oh, God, I can't live like this. I went to the library of East Texas Baptist College, read every book I could about every great preacher and see what it was and what the secret was. And I would beg and I'd beg. What was God doing? God was saying, one day, I want a man to stand behind the pulpit of the great First Baptist Church of Hammond and lead a church to try to reach that great Chicago area. But the first thing I got to do, he's got to fail in his own strength and fail in his own power. And one day, then I can use him. Man does not live by rose gardens or orchards or Edens or Canaan's. Our tropics, he lives by the wilderness, where he becomes little and God becomes big. Where was this great church built? Beware, it's the sunshine that shipwrecks us. It's prosperity that destroys a nation. It is the day of stormy human failure that we're driven to God, and then comes the victory. I mentioned a while ago that dark day in my life, I was sitting in the car beside a dear friend. I shook my head and I said, where am I? He said, you're in Greenville, South Carolina. What are we doing here? He said, you just were preaching a few hours ago. And he said, you lost it. Totally lost it. It never happened before to me like that. And they put me in a hospital. And there I cried all night long. That's been almost 11 years ago. Tonight as I sat here before I preached, I said, oh God, you've got to help me. I can't do it. You've got to help me.
Oh, God, don't let me lose my memory. Oh, God. And God looked down and said, that's what I've been trying to get you to do all along. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Oh, God, give us a generation of people that depend upon Him. God said to the Jews, I put you in the wilderness that I might humble you, that you might realize the work is mine. It's been 11 years since that fateful morning. 11 long years. I recall, Gail, you and Keith, I think it was. I was in the hospital. They'd been taking some tests. I remember the first things I remember. I was rolled out of some tests, and I saw Gail, and I saw you, Keith, there in the hospital. I thought it was all over. I came back, and I had a meeting with Brother Young. And I said, Brother Young, who do you think ought to take my place? We had a meal together in Milwaukee. I had a meeting with Brother Coastman over here in Calumet City at a restaurant. Who do you think ought to take my place? Had a meeting with other men, Brother Moffat, I think it was, and others. 11 men I had meetings with, getting ready for somebody to take my place. Trying to figure out who it ought to be and who it ought to be. I looked at these men up here and I said, good night, did nobody up here looks like they can take my place? Elaine Coulson probably could, but she's at least she says more words than anybody I know. She's practiced an awful lot. And then one day, I walked to this pulpit to announce my successor. And I said, I'd like to tell you who's going to take my place. I said, his name is Jack Hiles. And from that day to this, whether I've been preaching in Southern California or Northern New England, I sat on the pulpit and said, oh God, you've got to help me. I sit behind here and say, oh God, help me. I can't do it by myself. And God said, that's why I let you stumble on your first sermon back under 66,000 sermons ago. That's why you had to go an entire year to find out who it is that brings the victory. Who it is that causes success. And that's why once in a while I cause you to lose your memory, and especially that one big time, so you can lean upon me. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Now I'm an old man. 73. But I got news for you. The greatest years of my ministry had been the last 11 years. Since once again, God reminded me that He's the one that does it and not the Jack Hiles. Over 250,000 souls I've seen come to Christ in the last 11 years when I resigned and got resurrected from the dead. Over 100,000 baptisms. What is failure? It's only a spur to the one who uses it right. It makes the spirit within him stir to get in once more and fight. You can never fail. It's an easy guess. You've never won any high success. I drove by about a year ago. I drove by the Cedar Temple Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. The door was open. I walked inside the door. I walked up to the pulpit, and I got on my knees. I remembered that night when a young preacher stood behind this very pulpit and spoke for 3 minutes and finally said, folks, I thought I could do it, but I can't. I'm sorry. And then I sat down as here as I could in the same seat where I sat down in failure. And I said, dear Lord, I want to thank you for this place. You showed me it's you and not me. I was in South Carolina several years ago. I went to a hospital there on the campus of Bob Jones University where I'd preached and lost my memory. I went to the same room as far as I could find, the same room where I spent that night and cried most all night long. And I said, dear God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me stand up here and testify to the praise of Almighty God. It's His work and not mine. Somebody says, you've done a great work there. No, I haven't. He's done a great work here. It's His work and it's not mine. You listen to me carefully. If you ever amount to anything for God, you're going to have to go to the wilderness for a while. And God's going to have to say, do to you what He did to Israel thousands of years ago. He's got to show you that it's His and not yours. You come to the end of a year. It's been a wonderful year. It's been a tough year. It's been a year that I found out that I had a heart condition. It's been a year that our little grandson was taken to death. But here at the church, it's been a great year, a wonderful year. Let's close the year out by lifting our hearts in the heavenly hosannas and saying, the Lord is the one who's done it all. This is the work of God. This great Sunday school is the work of God. This great crowd, a holiday crowd. The crowd is down. Several thousand people here. Why? Because God has done it. That's why. Look at the 1,000 preachers we have around the world. Look at the 300 missionaries scattered all over the world. 700 pastors in America. I guess in every state in the Union, maybe except one, pastoring churches, preaching the gospel tonight. Go down and see this little school down here on Sibley Street. Go down Holman Avenue and see that fine high school for bus kids only. Go out to Baptist City and see our high school, our junior high, our grade school. Go to Hiles Anderson College and see that great college out there. And come down here on this corner and see it. Ladies and gentlemen, it all started when a young preacher failed back on the years ago. I'm saying it's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. So tonight, if you failed, what you going to do about it? I remember the second sermon asked me to preach. I still didn't know you were supposed to study. Sat on the platform, introduced me. But all night that night, in the pine thickets of East Texas, I walked. And so, God, don't let me do what I did last time. You've got to help me. Oh, God, I'm preaching on a Sunday morning for the first time. Don't let me make a fool of myself. I've got to have your help. Now, hallelujah, for almost 6,000 to 7,000 times, I've had His help. It's because back yonder, a long time ago, He sent me to the wilderness and said to me what He said to Israel of old, the Lord thy God, let thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to humble thee. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from your toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. And let an old man tonight, let him look back on 54 years of preaching and 52 years of pastoring, and let him praise the name of God as he ends another year. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He's alive tonight, and it's by His power and by His strength and by His grace. All that I am is because of His grace. All that I have is because of His grace. All that I've done is because of His grace. Tonight, if you failed, get up.